So if you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to Luke chapter 7. I know there's a challenge before me to watch the time, but I'm just excited to be here this morning. And if you'll permit me to preach you one more message from Luke chapter 7. We've been several messages in Luke chapter 7. This morning I want to speak to you one more time from Luke chapter 7. And what a story it is, what an account it is. You know, one of the important things to notice and to remember and to glean from Luke chapter 7 in the story, in the account of the centurion that has a servant that is sick and at the point of death, and the centurion sends for Jesus Christ to come and heal his servant. I'd have you just remember one thing, that in this story, in this account, that as a centurion sends for Jesus to come and heal his servant, it's all about someone else. It's not about the centurion. The centurion is seeking the Lord Jesus Christ for someone else. His focus is on someone else. His focus is on his servant. His servant needs to be healed. His focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. And while the centurion is the central figure in the story, and while the centurion is the one of whom the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I found no greater faith in Israel," this morning I want to point our attention to the one in whom the centurion is trusting and calling upon, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard this morning many songs that we have sung, and even this morning we have heard the choir sing, "I need thee every hour." And we've heard the hymn, we sang the hymn, What a glory it is to walk with Jesus Christ and trust in Jesus Christ and to walk by faith and to live by faith. And yet, the subject is not about our faith. The subject is about the one in whom we trust. And in Luke chapter 7, we read the story of the centurion and his servant and of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 7, the story begins and it says, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, and that's the phrase we're going to come back to this morning, when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, "Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy precious and powerful word, Lord. Lord, I pray this morning that we look into this passage of Scripture, that we will see Jesus Christ, the one in whom we trust, not only for our salvation, but Lord, for every day, every moment. Lord, even as we have sung and heard the choir sing, we need you every hour, every hour, every day. Lord, we need you. Lord, whether the day is calm or whether the day is filled with storms, Lord, we need you every hour. Lord, this morning may our attention be focused on the one in whom we trust, and may it encourage us and strengthen our faith and give us grace and faith to just go through every day trusting in thee, walking thee, and resting in thee, rejoicing thee and being confident in thee, that our lives by faith might bring honor and glory to our Savior Jesus Christ, the Lord in whom we trust. And We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Bible says in Luke chapter 7, in verse number 3, and when he heard of Jesus, when he heard of Jesus, Jesus had been in and around Capernaum. We could go back, and for the sake of time we won't, but we could go back to Luke chapter 4, and we could read of how Jesus taught in the synagogues of Capernaum. And the Bible says that when he taught in those synagogues, the Bible says they were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished at his word. They were astonished with the way he spoke and what he spoke. And they sat and they marveled at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, we've never heard anybody speak like this. But then he did miracles as well in and around Capernaum. And the miracles that he did, he would heal people that were demon-possessed and other miracles he did. And people saw and they heard the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the centurion heard of Jesus Christ. Whether he heard from his friends or just heard the stories that were going around, the Bible says in verse number 3, when he heard of Jesus. It's interesting to note, though, that right before Luke chapter 7, in the previous chapter, as Jesus Christ had been speaking just a little ways outside of Capernaum. Luke chapter 6, it's interesting to notice what attention Luke brings to what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house, dig deep, lay the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You know, the last thing that Luke brings to our attention before he goes into chapter 7 is how our faith and our trust needs to be on the person of Jesus Christ. And he says, when your life is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, when your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, your house, your life is founded upon a rock. And yes, the storms will come. Yes, the waves will beat against it. Yes, there'll be challenges. There'll be trials and there'll be all sorts of things that will face you. But the Bible says your house, your life will stand because your faith is in Jesus Christ. You know, throughout the scriptures, the Bible tells us to trust in the Lord. We could go back to Psalm 37 and verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell, verily, so shalt thou dwell in the land. And thou shalt be fed. We could go to Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and verse 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We could go to Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 2. Isaiah 26 and verse 2, where the Bible says so clearly, what a precious passage of Scripture. Listen, if I could, in fact, turn your attention. I know it's 10:07. Turn your attention back to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. Listen, if there's a verse in the Bible that you ought to have marked, it ought to be a go-to verse. It ought to be a verse that you ought to go to continually. Day or night, middle of the night, early morning, when you're challenged, when the stress begins to rise to any level, Isaiah 26 is your go-to verse. Thou will keep him, or Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, excuse me, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, thoughts, is stayed or fixed, settled upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Turn over to the book of Nahum. Now, I know this will take you the rest of the time to find it, but Nahum. Nahum chapter 1. Nahum chapter 1. Nahum chapter 1. So you got Psalm 37. David says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily thou shalt be. Proverbs, Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Isaiah says, trust in the Lord forever. Nahum says the same thing. Look at Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those that trust in him. He knoweth them that trust in him. So you go back to Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, we have the real example. Just as Pastor Donnie's been preaching messages from Hebrews chapter 11 about examples of faith, examples of people living and trusting in God, living and trusting in the Lord, and the example of their life. Here we have one in Luke chapter 7. A man, a centurion, a Roman centurion who has power, has authority, has position, has everything in life. But it comes down to this. Comes down to this, where the centurion says, I need thee every hour. I need the Lord. You can have everything. You can have position. You can have authority. You can have power. You can have money. You can have strength. You can have everything. But what we need is not what we have in and of ourselves. What we need is not what we have of this world. What we need is Jesus Christ. And here we see this in Luke chapter 7. And the Bible says, when he heard of Jesus, when he heard of Jesus. And this morning, I just want to take this time. I just want to remind you of Jesus Christ this morning. I just want to remind and refresh your mind, your heart, your faith about the one in whom you trust. Because in Luke chapter 7, as we go through this account, as we go through this story, we can glean three things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Three things about the Lord Jesus Christ that will strengthen your faith, encourage your faith, and help your faith every day. Because listen, reality is this, we have lives to live. And the reality of life is this, is that while today might be a good day, and today might be a calm day, tomorrow might be a tempest. And the reality is, you don't have control over life as it surges around you. But you do have a choice of how you go through life. You can choose this morning, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to trust the Lord. And I'm going to keep going back to the Lord. And I'm just going to keep putting my faith back on the Lord. And I'm going to keep trusting the Lord. And I'm going to keep reminding myself to trust in the Lord. And we need to do that. Or you can choose to just go it on your own. Hey, have fun. But I'll tell you what, there's one person in whom we can trust, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we look at Luke chapter 7, there's three things we want to see. Three things that are brought out in the faith of this centurion. In this faith, as he seeks the Lord Jesus Christ to heal his servant. And the first thing we see is in Luke chapter 7, the first thing I want to bring your attention to is in Luke chapter 7, verse 6. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou should enter into my roof, under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. Think about that. Think of what the centurion just said. He said, Lord, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. You know, the people that he sent, in fact, the ones that he sent, the elders of the Jews, when they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, they said to the Lord, and one of the reasons they said the Lord ought to come is they said, this man is worthy. The elders of the Jews went to the Lord Jesus Christ and they said, Jesus, please, you need to come to this man's house. And he is worthy of your attention. He's worthy of your help. He's loved us. He's loved the Jewish people. He's built us a synagogue. He loves our nation. He's worthy. And the centurion says, no, I'm not worthy. You know why? Because the centurion understood something that every one of us ought to understand. There's only one person that's worthy, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that's not my point. If you want my homiletical point, it's the preeminence of Christ. The Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 1 that in all things he might have the preeminence. And he says, Lord, Lord. You know, we could take the whole day and just think about what Isaiah says. Who is like unto our God? Who is like unto our God? Who is like our Lord? See, for there is none higher than our God, our Savior, our Shepherd, Jesus Christ. And we could just spend the rest of our life just considering the preeminence of Jesus Christ. That he is the eternal Son of God. That he is God. John brings out in John chapter 1 the preeminence of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the eternal Son of God. He never changes. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. And we could go through the scriptures and we could look at the preeminence of Jesus Christ. We could look at the Lord as he is involved in the history of Israel. We could look at the Lord Jesus Christ as he leaves heaven and he comes to earth and he lives upon this earth and he ministers to people and he works in people's lives and he cares for people, the miracles that he does. But then our attention would be brought to the cross of Jesus Christ. This is like Gavin played that hymn this morning. Lead me to Calvary. And we go to the cross of Calvary and we see Jesus Christ, who the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, whether in heaven, earth, or below earth, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. That Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross of Calvary, he triumphed over everything triumphantly. He won the victory. Died for our sins, was buried, rose again. And now, he's seated on the right hand of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, ever living to make intercession for us. And one day he's coming back to receive us unto himself. That's what he told the disciples just before he went to the cross. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, this is why we trust in the Lord. because he is the preeminent one in every aspect of life. From eternity past to eternity future, he is the Lord. There is none like unto our God, none like unto the Lord. He is high above everything else. He is the Lord. And when we recognize him as Lord, when we see him as Lord, and when the centurion heard of Jesus, when he heard of the Lord, he says, Lord, I need you. But he also said this, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. He says, I'm not worthy that you should enter into my home. Think about that. Think about the next time you pray. Think about that the next time you bring a request to the Lord. Think about the next time you start with these words, Lord, please. Stop and put a comma right there. Lord, please. I am not worthy. You alone are worthy. He says, I'm not worthy that you enter under my house. He says, I'm not even worthy that I should go to you. Think about that. You see, because when we give Christ the preeminence, when in our hearts and minds and by faith we lift up Jesus Christ to the highest place of which he is worthy, it immediately brings us to the place where we need to be of great humility. Where we are not coming to the Lord Jesus Christ in pride and arrogance and Lord, you have to do this because... No. We come boldly under the throne of grace. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come humbly. We come humbly saying, Lord, I am not worthy. You alone are worthy. But I need you. And the first thing we see is the preeminence of Jesus Christ. The preeminence of Jesus Christ. Boy, it would do us well to just study our Bibles and read our Bibles. And like Pastor Donnie so wonderfully brought forth last week. And as you read your Bibles, instead of looking and searching the Scriptures and studying the Scriptures and thinking about yourself, begin with thinking about your Lord and your Savior and your God. And get your eyes focused on Him. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Because God said this in 1 John chapter 5. The Son of Man has come that we might, and it will give us an understanding that we may know Him. That we may know Him. And the centurion, he heard of Jesus Christ. He heard of the works of Jesus Christ. He heard of the miracles of Jesus Christ. He heard of the words of Jesus Christ. And this centurion, this Roman centurion, who had a great need in his life, not for himself, but for his servant who he dearly loved, he says, I need Jesus, and I need him right now. And he says, he is Lord, and he alone is worthy. I'm not worthy, but he's worthy. And I'm thankful that my Lord, my God, that he is worthy, that he is the preeminent one, that there is none like unto our God in all ways, in his character, in his nature, in his form, in everything about him. There is none like unto our God. But the second thing we see in Luke chapter 7, and this is exciting as well. It's all exciting, but in Luke chapter 7, think about what the centurion said. And the centurion knew this from his own personal experience. But now he's thinking about it in regard to the Lord, in regard to Jesus Christ. He says, I'm not worthy that you enter under my roof. I'm not worthy that I should approach unto you. But look at what he says in verse 7. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be heard. And now he not only thinks of the preeminence of Jesus Christ. His faith is not only in the preeminence of Jesus Christ that he is Lord. But his faith is also in the power of Jesus Christ. The power of Jesus Christ. You know, so many times, folks, we get bogged down. And the reason we get bogged down, the reason we fear, the reason we stress, the reason we have anxiety is because we look at our problem. And we said this so many times over and over again. We look at our problem and we allow our problem in our hearts and minds to be greater than our God. That's what happens. Listen, when you're thinking of the preeminence of Christ, when you're thinking of the Lord, and when your heart and your mind is focused on Him, and you think about Him, all of a sudden you think about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the centurion says, just speak a word. You don't have to come. Don't trouble yourself to walk into my house. Don't trouble yourself to even come near my property. All you have to do, Lord, is say a word. It's done. The power of Jesus Christ. First of all, the power is word. That's why we have in such great depth Genesis chapter 1, all about creation. All about creation and how this whole world came into being. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, let there be light. You think of the Word of God. You think of the power of the Word of God. You know, back in Psalm 18. In Psalm 18 and verse 30. Man, you another passage of Scripture. You could take Psalm 18. Psalm 18, but we're in the third quarter and time is running. But Psalm 18. You go through the whole Psalm. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. And David's going on about how he can trust in the Lord, why he can trust in the Lord, who he's trusting in. And then he comes down to this in verse 30. And this is the verse I want to bring your attention to. As for God, His way is perfect. And then he says this, the word of the Lord is tried. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. You know, we can talk about the Word of God and we can talk about the power of the Word of God. And we can go to Hebrews chapter 4. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. But you know what David said? David said, not only do I know from Scripture that the Word of God is perfect, not only do I know from Scripture that the Word of God is powerful, he says, but the Word of the Lord is tried. And you know what he's saying there? You know what that means? It's been tested. It's been tested. You know, someone will come up to you and, have you tried this? You know, you go to other countries and they put a plate of food before you. Try this. And you just look at it. You know? And you go, no thanks. Right? The word of the Lord has been tried. Just stop and think. Just let your mind just go for a moment. And think how many times the word of God has been put to the test. Think in your own life. How many times you have taken the Word of God and you've put it to test. Think of how many times this church, just think of the over 100 people that are here this morning, and multiply it out, how many times people within this church right here in this room have put the Word of God to test. Think about how many churches there are across America, across the world this morning, that are gathered together, that in their lives, people, individuals, millions of people have put the Word of God to the test. Think of throughout history how many times individuals have put the Word of God to the test, and not once has He failed. Not once has He failed.
Amen.
I went to Dollar General the other week. I love Dollar General. But I went to Dollar General. I bought a can of soup. The picture looked good on the front. Sounded good. So, was it last night? Yeah, last night. So Alice and I said, well, let's just do whatever you want tonight. So I pulled this can of soup out. This looks good. She's fixing what she's wanted. She's sitting down eating hers, and she's enjoying hers. And I picked mine out and put it on the stove. I ate a small bowl of it. The rest of it's on the counter. She says, "What do you want to do with the rest of it?" Anyways, she gave me a good piece of advice. "Would you stop going to Dollar General and buying all this stuff?" Because, you know, it looked good, but I tried it. And it failed the taste test miserably. The only thing I could say for it was that it was warm. But you know, when you come to the Word of God, it never fails. It never fails. Because His Word. You know, the disciples are in a boat. Storm comes up. Jesus Christ stands up and rebukes the wind and the waves. And you know what the disciple said? The disciple says, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And the centurion says, "All you have to do is speak a word, and he shall be healed." And the second thing the centurion knew was the power of the word of this one Jesus. And we can look through Scripture, and we can read everything that the Bible says about the Word of God. But you know, we can also look in Scripture. And this is why I've been just preaching on the miracles of Jesus Christ. Because it just reminds me of the power of Jesus Christ. That there is nothing. Listen to me. There is nothing too hard for our God. There is nothing too hard for our God. Yet many times, we wonder. And when we wonder, we need to get our eyes back on the person. There is nothing too hard for our God. There is nothing in your life, nothing in your circumstances, nothing in the things that you face today or tomorrow that is too hard for your God. And this is what the centurion knew. He knew he had heard of Jesus Christ. He had heard of his word. He had heard of his teaching. He had heard of his miracles. And he says, "I got a problem. My problem is my servant is sick. And he's at the point of death. The doctors have done what they can. The money has done what it's can. My position has done nothing. But this one Jesus, I've heard about what he has done. I've heard about what he has said. And right now I'm going to put the circumstances on him. I'm going to build my life upon this rock right now." And Jesus Christ didn't fail him either. You know, it's interesting because the first thing we see is the preeminence of Christ, and we're in the fourth quarter. The second thing we see is the power of Jesus Christ. But the third thing I want to remind you of, this is so important, the purpose of Jesus Christ. The purpose of Jesus Christ. You know, when the centurion sent the elders of the Jews to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He said, "I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him." Right there it was settled. Right there it was settled. He said, "I will come and heal him." May I remind you this morning of the purpose of Jesus Christ regarding your life. And it's simple. The purpose of Jesus Christ in your life is simply this: to help you. To help you. That encompasses the whole purpose of Jesus Christ. His heart is to help you. In the Gospel of Mark, or in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19, it says the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's what these young people are going to testify to this morning. that they heard that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save them from their sin. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's why Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, to save you from your sin, so that you could be delivered from the judgment to come of the Lord God Almighty. That you'd be delivered from your sin and you'd be given eternal life. And we know that Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Even the Apostle Paul said it. He loved me. He gave himself for me. Paul says, I obtained mercy. He says, I wasn't worthy, but I obtained mercy. The Bible says, by grace you're saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of yourselves. Not of your own works, lest any man should boast. Because God is rich in mercy. In Jesus Christ, he wants to help you in your life. And this man had a problem. This man had a circumstance. He had a need, and Jesus Christ says, I'm going to come and heal. I will come and heal this man. And Jesus Christ came. The Bible says one of the prophecies that were spoken to the Lord Jesus Christ that would show that he was Messiah is the fact that he would come and he would heal the sick and he would raise the dead. He would open the eyes of the blind. Jesus Christ says, I will come and heal. And the first way that Jesus Christ helps is through salvation. That's why it's so important that folks would hear about Jesus Christ. That they would simply hear a message, Jesus saves. That's why we get that little sign, a little light-up sign on the front of the church, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. So that every time in the blackness of night, the darkness of the night, as people ride down Route 85, their attention is caught to two words, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. You know, there's been times when strangers have called us up and said, you know, your light's out on your sign. Your light's out on your sign. We don't notice it. We don't notice it. Strangers driving down the road. Your sign's out. Someone will call up. Is the sign still up? Is the sign still lit? Jesus saves. But you know, from the moment you're saved, Jesus Christ wants to help you in other ways. And this is so simple. And I'm in the two-minute warning now. But it goes back to Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know that passage of Scripture has become too familiar to us? It's become too familiar to us. And we read through it and we just, but you know, it covers every aspect of life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it talks about how the Lord Jesus Christ will help us in every aspect of life. And it winds up, finishes up, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the Lord wants to help you in your life. He says, I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ wants to help in every aspect of your life. But you know what it means? It means trusting him. It means trusting him. And here, this is what we see. This is what the Lord saw in the life of this centurion. He says, this centurion has a faith. This centurion has a faith, a great faith. And the reason it was a great faith is because of the person in whom he was trusting. The person in whom he's trusting. You know, a child can have a great faith. Just as an adult can have a great faith. It's not based upon age. It's not based upon wisdom. It's based upon the person of Jesus Christ. Just as Paul said, I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And this centurion, he simply came to a place when he heard of Jesus Christ, that he understood the preeminence of Jesus Christ, that he is Lord. May I remind you once again, there is no one like our God. There is no one like our Savior. And the Word of God, the Word of God, listen, you can trust it. You can rest in it. You can live by it. You can act upon it. You can pray upon it. And I mean pray, P-R-A-Y. You can call upon God. His word will not fail you. And you can rest in his purpose that he has the best intentions for your life. He says, I know the thoughts that I think to you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring about an expected end. So as we sang this morning, I need you every hour. But you know, the song I want us to sing, I don't know who's leading the invitation hymn, but the song, what a glory. What was that hymn, Pastor Donnie? It is glory just to walk with him. That's the hymn we're going to sing, but first we're going to pray. So trust him. Trust him. And the clock has just wound down. Trust him. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that we can trust in thee. Lord, what a delight, what a pleasure, what a wonder, what a glory it is to trust thee. And Lord, may we just continually trust in you for every aspect of life. Lord, if there's someone here that's never been saved, may they come to you this morning. May they come to the cross. May they trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation. But Lord, may our hearts just be turned to thee. And may we trust in thee completely, continually, giving you all the glory. For thou alone art worthy. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.